May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 686. Jesus, cast a look on me, give me sweet simplicity. Make me poor and keep me low, seeking only thee to know. Hymn 686.
Thank you. read from God's holy word. Firstly, Isaiah chapter 61. And then we'll read a part of Luke chapter 15. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Now we will turn to the Gospel according to Luke, and we will read from chapter 15 from verse 11, as far as verse 24. Luke chapter 15, commencing at verse 11. And he, that is Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants are my father's? Have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, but am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. May the Lord help us now in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray now for thy help this evening in coming before thee in prayer and in worship, in the ministry of thy word. O Lord, do draw near to us and help us. Grant me that help in speaking forth those blessed truths and glorious redemption in Christ Jesus. O Lord, may our hearts be filled with and desire after thee, that, O Lord, we may seek, and thy blessed promise is that they that seek shall find. O Lord, may we be filled with that desire after thee, to behold thy beauty and thy glory, O Lord Jesus, and to rejoice in thy glorious salvation. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to deliver us from the sin that doth so easily beset us, those distractions, those foolish desires, sinful lusts, pride of the flesh. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest grant us that spiritual sight, that we may be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord Jesus Christ, thou who art here now in the midst with us, as thou hast promised according to thy word, that thou art in the midst, do give us that true reverence and godly fear. O Lord, that we may by faith see thee spiritually. O Lord, indeed, that thou mightest be pleased to bless us. O Lord, if there be any that are unconcerned, O Lord, do bring them in to that true concern over their souls. O Lord, that anxious seeking of thee. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to bless any that are burdened over their sins, to truly know thy favour and thy forgiveness and thy mercy, that, O Lord, they may, that the sorrow may be turned into joy. O Lord, that they may know that oil of gladness, that outpouring of thy Spirit, that joy and peace in believing. O Lord, we do pray that there may be those abundant blessings of salvation poured out here, and there may be those brought forth to testify of the gracious and glorious work of redemption that thou hast wrought for them. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to help our friends, the deacons here, in their responsibilities and in their burden, to guide them and direct them. Do favour thy servants that come and preach here from time to time, that thou mightest bless them, to clothe them with power, that they may be endued with power, and that the friends that come may come in that spirit of Cornelius, where he was gathered together with those friends, that they were all there to hear what Peter should say, knowing him to be called of God, who should speak the word of God. O Lord, what an abundant blessing was poured out that day. O may we come in that same spirit, all gathered together to hear the word of God, knowing that pressing need, that earnest need, that love in our hearts unto the Lord, desiring to hear our Saviour speak. Do, O Lord, help any that are in deep trouble or in affliction. O Lord, those that are unable to come out to thy house, confined at home, that thou mightest be with them to help them. O Lord, do help those that are caring for little ones. O Lord, do bless the children, we pray. Grant thy favour to rest upon them. Do, O Lord, grant that parents may be upheld and strengthened. O Lord, we who are given that great responsibility, O Lord, do help us, for how far short do we come. O Lord, how we need thy help. Do, O Lord, help the little ones and the children and the young people, to guide them, to direct them, to favour them in the path that they should take, to preserve them in this present evil day. O Lord, we do pray for thy blessing upon thy one true church throughout this world. Some, indeed many, we fear, cannot gather together in public as we do, or even gather together at all for fear of persecution or being so scattered. O Lord, do be with them in their affliction and their suffering. Be with any that are imprisoned for the testimony of thy name. O Lord, we do pray for the orphans and the fatherless. Pray for those that are amidst wars and unrest, disease and poverty. O Lord, do be with them that have much need of thy word, who have not the scriptures before them as we do. We do pray that thou wouldst make a way for many to receive the precious word. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst abundantly favour, strengthen brethren at the Trinitarian Bible Society to raise up more labourers to labour in the translation of thy word, the distribution of thy word. And O Lord, do clothe the word with power, we do pray. They may not just be paper and ink that is sent forth, but the power of the word, to transform, to renew, to grant new life. And, O Lord, do grant that it may be so with us this night. O Lord, we do beg for thy help then. And we do plead for thy mercy and thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 1144. Saviour, visit thy plantation, grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Keep no longer at a distance, shine upon us from on high, lest for want of thine assistance every plant should droop and die. Hymn 1144.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in coming to his holy word again this evening, that he may help us and grant us thy favour. Lord, particularly bring before you a verse in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 22. And particularly those words, bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the best robe. Luke 15:22, and but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found. Bring forth the best robe. The word of God sets forth what that best robe is, glorious righteousness, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, how gracious the Lord shines forth in Scripture to clothe the most unrighteous, wretched, filthy, sinful wretches. As they come in repentance, like this prodigal son did, in humility, to clothe with the best robe. The righteousness of Christ, how vital a subject it is, how beautiful a subject it is, how we read in so many places, as we sort of speak this morning, of we read of the Lord being clothed with majesty. We spoke of the awesome glory of the holiness of God, particularly displayed at Mount Sinai, awesome, terrible. Yet, we could not approach unto such a place. We could not so much as touch the border of the mount. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, who obeyed the holy law of God, wrought righteousness, there we may come. And there indeed we must come. There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is that in must in respect of God's eternal purposes. And that eternal purpose shall be fulfilled by this prodigal son, although he went into a far country, as far, some of us perhaps have tried to go as far as we can, yet we could not go further, break, avoid the eternal purposes of God in bringing us back, bringing us, like this prodigal son, came to himself to consider his father's house, to see the emptiness, the vileness, the uncleanness of where the lusts of the flesh had brought him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. It is the eternal purposes of God. Bless your praying every wandering, straying, lost sheep to that place where they confess they are unworthy. Confess that they're utterly done yet. And here's the work of faith, that there is yet hope. That to remember the Father's house, to remember that there is yet bread enough and to spare. There was that hope that he may be fed there. Where there is faith, there is hope. Oh, what a precious gift that is, the precious gift of faith. Where faith is given, even though we have vilely sinned, how far short we come. To say personally, even in the ministry, one has need of much increase of faith to come. How far we feel to come short. Yet there is that hope that the Lord may be gracious. That the Lord may yet be pleased to uphold. Where there is faith, there is hope. And how that hope rose up in the prodigal's heart. What grace there was. That light shining forth in his heart. That giving of a new heart. No longer to see his father's house as something to be, to take what he could and to go. Take his portion and to go and do all those things that surely he'd have known his father would be greatly saddened by. To waste his substance in riotous living. But as the Lord's purposes are, had to be brought to be emptied of all these things. And then that new life was given, to look to his father's house and to say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Well, there is a lesson there. Sin, in that ultimate sense, is before God. As David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That is a most essential part of the work of salvation. Teaching of the Holy Spirit that it is whatever we may have done to others or even perhaps members of our family or in the church or wherever it may be in the world, whoever it may be. Ultimately, that sin has been committed against God. Whatever we are viewing only sin as only being committed against fellow human beings, we have yet need of the Lord's teaching, though we may see it is in the just before heaven, against heaven indeed. That we have sinned against an almighty God, a holy God. And that we must, if we are to know forgiveness, we must come unto him. But yet there is that hope that the Lord may be gracious. Clearly this prodigal had that hope that his father would receive him. If only it were as a servant. That his father would have compassion upon him, even if it was only so much as to make him a servant. But how much more abundant was that mercy that was poured out when that prodigal came and returned. Now it is that when we should come in repentance and seeking the Lord, to coming unto the Lord, seeking for mercy, that we may be fed. We have strayed, we've gone astray. How much more abundantly doth the Lord grant that favour, that mercy, that display of his love and his grace. The parable, that son's father saw him a great way off. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What display of love there. And what ground of hope do we have in coming unto the Lord? It is in Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, for indeed he has paid the price, he has paid the penalty. Oh, we should plead that precious name. What an entrance there is there unto the Father. What an entrance there is into heavenly home. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. We've spoken about the must in God's internal purposes. Those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his precious blood, they must be saved. None can be lost. The precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was not shed in vain. And he wrought out that robe of righteousness in his obedience to the holy law of God, the Father. In his sacred humanity, it was not in vain. When he rose again, it was not in vain. When he ascended to the right hand of the Father, it's not in vain. When he stands now interceding at the right hand of the Father, it is not in vain. That is a glorious, glorious truth of the God of Israel. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. We do not worship some disappointed God, some impotent God, some God that depends upon us, but stands pleading, if only you would do this and that. No, the Lord reigneth. The Lord is upon the throne. Where the divine appointed time comes, that there's that rising up in the heart, that new life, that new desire. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. That forsaking of that far country, that forsaking of those things, a returning. There was that must raised up in the heart of the prodigal. No other name whereby we must be saved. Oh, that there was more of that, as it were, must religion about us. Not only a believing in the eternal divine purposes, that those things must come to pass according to God's will, yes. But there should be that must in our own heart raised up, lest we should be fall a prey to fatalism. But there should be that must in our heart, and a must in faith, where there is a hope. I must return. I must come before the Lord in prayer. I must seek his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, saith our Lord. And shall we not come unto the Lord and beg for that increase of faith, that our religion may be one that is zealous yet humble, that pressing forward, like our Lord said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What encouragement there is there to press forward. Though we should know the abundant blessing of salvation in Christ Jesus. Or may we not be left in that enchanted ground, left in that place of carelessness, indifference. What a dangerous place indifference is. To come to the place of worship, to read the Bible, yet be indifferent as to whether we truly know the Lord or not. But what encouragements we have in the word of the Lord, the word of God. That the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it, not might take it, do take it. They that seek shall find. What encouragements we have here, like with the prodigal son. The father didn't say, no, go away, you've been far too bad. And the publican came to the temple. Publicans were those who'd gathered taxes for the Roman occupiers. And usually they gathered not only taxes for the heathen occupiers of the land, but plenty money for themselves, by extortion, by trickery. Lived lives of luxury and vice, perhaps. Utterly betrayed their own country. In that sense, betrayed the Lord. Yet, that repentant publican, he came to the temple. He came with a hope that God should be merciful unto him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he pleaded. Even though he couldn't come up to the front like the Pharisee, but even though he stood afar off, yet he was there in the presence of God, and he was the one that knew that best robe put upon him. He went to his house justified. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. That best robe, the righteousness of Christ. For it is only in clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ can we stand justified in the presence of God. There is no other robe like unto that glorious robe. Indeed, in practical matters, there's a warning to us. In matters of dress, apparel, how much time and money is spent in this world seeking after the best clothes, the most fashionable clothes, the most expensive clothes even. Most eye-catching clothes. But the word of God is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Well, the apostle teaches in the New Testament concerning being adorned with good works, with meekness, humility, rather than outward costly apparel. The best robe certainly isn't a worldly one of this world. Certainly isn't one that will be found in the fashion shops or in the latest catalogue. How much labour is gone, how much time is spent going round the shop seeking for the best robe, but it won't be found there. If half the time was spent seeking the best robe, would not our lives be very different from how they are? Rather, we should seek, and truly the Lord shall grant, and having received it, what rejoicing there should be to receive that best of robes, that righteousness of Christ, to be clothed in his righteousness, to stand justified before God the Father. Bring forth the best robe. We read of many places of the righteousness of Christ. How it troubled me and still troubles me to this day, to when I preached last year somewhere, which I won't name, when somebody came up to me afterwards after I'd been preaching about the righteousness of Christ and then said to me, and if somebody who claimed to be a minister as well said to me, there is no such thing. Read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's no such thing. It's another occasion when I scarcely knew what to say. Still feel a sense of horror that somebody was dare to say such a thing. Well, we read in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom. Where else can that righteousness come from but Christ? The bride adorneth herself with her jewels. The Lord our righteousness. Oh, what attractiveness there is to one who feels to be unrighteous, whose righteousness is as filthy rags, and now we see our vileness, our inability, our nakedness before God, and we read such verses as this, bring forth the best robe, to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, his obedience, to stand before him in that, what we read, that fine linen, clean and white, just the righteousness of saints. All these things still strike me with horror. But the devil is always very busy. As we read, listen, it's a, as it were, a parable. In the end of the book of Kings, Jehoshaphat went out with Ahab, king of Israel, to fight against the Syrians. And that commandment that the king of Syria gave, was not to fight against great or small, but with the king of Israel. Well, in a way, that speaks a parable. Revealed there the devil's tactics. Not to fight against small or great, but the king of Israel. The devil comes, he won't just come against some, we might say, peripheral matter. As it were, seek to go to the heart, seek to attack the very essence and life of our salvation. He did so in that attack when our Lord was tempted in the wilderness, to attack there the righteousness of Christ. If the devil could, it is not possible, but he thought if he could but bring our Lord to sin, that glorious robe of righteousness would be ruined. But praise be God, our Lord Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, pure, holy, undefiled. No inclination at all to sin, but answered the devil, it is written. Whether it was the sins of presumption or of worldly aggrandizement or of a satisfaction of fleshly desires, our Lord was pure and holy against such temptations. There stands our hope. Our Lord, we're not just saved by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved by his life. We're saved by his glorious work of righteousness imputed unto us. Put on by faith, revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. Through that path of repentance and prayer, calling upon the name of Jesus. Oh, how the Spirit so blessedly is revealed to multitudes as they've come seeking him in repentance and prayer. Though they've know, nor the prodigal son knew. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Not just bring it forth to have a look at, but to put it on him, to feel it, to know, to be clothed in that glorious robe of righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life, shed his precious blood, bore that penalty due on account of our sins. We are clothed in his righteousness. Indeed, we live because he ever liveth. We're not just saved by that life wrought out in his sacred humanity here below, in his obedience, but he ever liveth. He ever intercedeth at the right hand of the Father. What hope we have in that precious name of Jesus, that we should come unto him and receive gracious and merciful reception. The prodigal's father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. How that speaks in that parable of the reception awaiting every truly repentant sinner. Truly, the gospel is good news. Well, the Pharisees didn't think so, but they didn't think they had any sins to worry about. The Pharisee who stood in the temple, he thanked God he was not like other men. No prayer, no petition, no request. Just a statement of his own self-righteousness. Gospel meant nothing to him. And I think many of us can confess that there was a time when the gospel meant nothing to us. The Lord knows if there are any here that it still means nothing to. It's where we have need of seeing the majesty and glory of God, like at Mount Sinai, that we should tremble before him, to see that we are utterly ruined, utter sinners. The Lord knows where you are in this parable, whether you're still in the Father's house itching to get that portion of this goods and to go as far away as possible, to flee as far as possible from chapel as could be. Or whether you're one that has come back and has received that blessed robe, those tokens, well, not just tokens, the reality of the love and mercy of God. But other examples we read of that beautifully bring forth this truth, we read of in Esther, Book of Esther. Here the account of Esther and King Ahasuerus. It speaks a parable. We cannot say that Ahasuerus was a type of Christ. Ahasuerus's life, we do not read of it as being a godly life. In the earlier parts of the Book of Esther, quite the opposite. His lack of judgment concerning Haman, his life devoted to all manner of feasting and passions of the flesh. But when we read of Esther approaching unto the king, there we see illustrated in a parable that approach of the sinner unto God. We see with Esther, she and her people were under that sentence of death. There was no hope but to come unto the king, not according to the law. For according to the law, it was death to come into the presence of the king of Persia, unrequested. Yes, you ventured, according to the holy law of God. If it be strictly according to the law, if we are to come into the presence of God, we must certainly be consumed. Our God is a consuming fire. We cannot come according to the law. But how was it that Esther came? She came in prayer and fasting. That humiliation before the Lord. She did not think, because of her elevated position, that somehow she could escape. So will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now we read, now it came to pass on the third day. Well, there again is a beautiful parable. The third day, the day in which our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There was the time, that word propitious, which means favourable. That time of mercy. That propitious time, that time of favour. We come trusting in the risen Lord. And the Lord rose again that third day, came unto the disciples and said unto them, peace be unto you. That time of peace. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. We notice here that the two words, her and apparel, are in italics, which means there's only one word which, understand, literally means royalty. Royal apparel. That speaks of the, in the parable, as it were, of the glorious righteousness of Jesus, the King. His glorious majesty. Put on her royal apparel. Royalty, literally. That which had been given unto her. That which was not her own. There, you see, we must trust and look unto the Lord. That we may come pleading his righteousness, pleading his mercy. And stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favour in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden sceptre that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the sceptre. Oh, how beautiful it is that the Lord should hold forth the golden sceptre, that we should come near. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now the ring has neither beginning or end, a symbol of eternity, a symbol of love. And as Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, so we see the eternal love of God unto the church. Just beyond our comprehension. Truly the best robe. The best of rings. There again, there is much snare in jewellery. People seeking out the best, the most expensive. But there's no ring like this ring. The eternal love of God. Shoes on his feet. Well, again, what labour and expense is spared to have the best shoes of this world? But there's nothing like being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There's nothing like unto those shoes. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. What joy and peace there is in salvation. That is the glorious good news of the gospel. It's not a doleful religion that we preach forth. One full of grief and misery. We know that this world is, when we see it correctly, is a wilderness. Man is born unto trouble. It is through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. When we know the best of robes put upon us, to feel the righteousness of Christ, to have that ring put on our hand, speaking of the eternal love of God, the shoes be shod with the gospel, preparation of the gospel of peace. Surely it is a matter of joy and rejoicing, not of frivolous rejoicing, not something that is engineered, whipped up, emotions whipped up, no, but a true, substantial, real joy. You may be in the midst of an afflicted body, maybe in the midst of trouble and distress or even bereavement, yet there is a real and substantial joy and peace in believing, a feeding upon the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and making merry. That glorious robe of righteousness. We read in a number of places in Scripture by the high priest's garment. In the book of Exodus, there we read of the glories of it. That speaks of the righteousness of Christ. It is called the ephod, the high priest's garment. Glories of it, glorious. The description of it and its colours and its jewellery, its preciousness. Those jewels that have the names of the children of Israel engraved upon them, bound up that they should not be loosed. So the names of the children of God are bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Precious, laid upon his heart. As the high priest wears the ephod when entering into the holiest of all, so our Lord Jesus Christ bears his beloved people, the church's names, upon his heart as he entered into the holiest of all. Indeed, we are made partakers of so great a salvation by his grace and his mercy. What access David had in trouble when at Ziklag. We read there when the men were ready to stone him. All human hope had gone. Impossibilities were before him. Even his loyal men now ready to mutiny and indeed kill him. Everything gone, but not his Lord. Where should he turn? He turned to the ephod, which speaks of the righteousness of Christ. He said to Abiathar, bring hither the ephod. And there he gained that access again in inquiring of the Lord. And there the Lord delivered him in that great distress. David had been backsliding and being allied with the Philistines. He'd never inquired of the Lord to be there. And now in great trouble, in the chastening hand of the Lord upon him, yet there was still that best of robes. There was still the ephod. There was still that hope of access unto the Lord. And the Lord answered. And the Lord granted that deliverance. We We should also say that when we are clothed upon with that glorious robe of righteousness, we are, in a sense, made priests and kings unto God to offer up spiritual sacrifices, that our lives are to be a living sacrifice. As in love we are to follow the Lord, for indeed we are his. If you love me, keep my commandments. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. If you truly know the Lord has so clothed you, so blessed you, should not it be shown forth, such a glorious blessing? Should it not be that testimony given to the Lord's grace and mercy? How great the love of our Lord is. How indeed it melts the hardest of hearts, the most resolute of wills that have said, I will not. But how we have that need of falling at the feet of Jesus and saying, as we have recorded in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. May we so desire to walk with him. If he has laid down his life, wrought out such glorious a robe of righteousness to clothe us upon, shall we not show forth his glory? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £600, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon, and there will be a trustee meeting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 373. With heavenly power, O Lord, defend him whom we now to thee commend. His person bless, his soul secure, and make him to the end endure. Hymn 373.
do grant us thy favour as we part. Do take us on our way to our homes in safety. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.